Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. Whew, it is a good word today. The Lord tests the righteous. In the Lord I put my trust. The Lord tests the righteous, but in the Lord I put my trust. We got to put our trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord until I die. And that's the song that they used to sing in the church. And we need to go back to some of those songs. I will trust in the Lord. I trust in God this morning, believing and knowing that his word is true. And in the Lord I put my trust. Hallelujah. God is good and greatly to be praised. Thanking God this morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness, for all things come from God. All things come from God. So we trust in the Lord today. With all our hearts, lean nodding on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him, and he shall, and I say he will, direct our path. So thanking God for all of you this morning, joining us as we move forward in the Word of God. This morning we will be in Psalms, starting in chapter 10. And Proverbs starting in chapter 4 and Matthew starting in chapter 14. And so this morning, we're going to go to our Psalms. So let's pray first, though, because we give it all to God, who is the source of our strength, the source of our hope, the source of our peace, the source of our joy. Father God, we come to you this morning, trusting in the name of Jesus. Father God, asking you as we decrease, asking you, Lord God, to give us discernment and understanding of your holy word, that it will be written on our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. Father God, we ask you to unharden hearts, that they will be open to receive your word, to receive your grace, to receive your mercy, to receive your kindness and your goodness, O God. Father God, we pray today for those that are sick and shut in with COVID, Lord God, that those that are dealing with this awful, awful infection and illness, that they will be healed, set free, and filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We pray your absolute healing over those that it is not their time, Father God, for only you know the date, the time, the hour, the second, the minute that it is our time to go to sleep. Father God, I pray and lift up those that I love. I lift up my pastor, Lord God. I lift up friends. I lift up family that are sick, that are shut in, that are in need of more of you, Father God. I lift up our children today, Lord God, as they go forth to sing Zion songs on these youth Sundays all over this country, Lord God. I ask you to watch over our children, to give them strength, to give them perseverance, to protect them from all hurts, from all harm, from all evil. Lord God, I pray for those that are going through ceremonies of ordination today. I pray for those that are accepting the call today. I pray for those that are accepting salvation today. I pray and lift up pastors today that are going through, Lord God, but that have a word that they must give for you, Father God. But we forget that pastors have families. Pastors have situations just like we do. Lord God, I lift up all pastors today, those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are leading congregations of wheat and tare, of wheat and tare. I ask you, Lord God, to let the wheat grow strong, for you will handle the tare on the day of judgment. Lord God, I ask you to give them strength, to give them a word from you that will kill, that will set free, that will save souls. So, Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. May it have a balm in Gilead. May it be a balm in Gilead over someone who has a soul that needs healed today. Father God, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to do your will in my life, Lord God. I thank you for allowing me to accept this call, to speak your word, to teach your word, to give others your word, Lord God. For you are in charge of everything. And all I can say is, to you be the glory. To you be the honor. To you be forevermore, my Father God. In the name of the matchless Savior. For you are God the Father. You are God the Son. You are God the Holy Spirit. And it's in the name of you, your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who was there in the beginning, and who will be there in the end, to lead us and guide us into the gate, into the narrow gate, to the book where our name is written. And I pray, Father God, that when my name is read, I will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Thank God for his grace, his mercy, and his love. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. In Jesus' name. For the Lord is our shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord is my shepherd. And I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for this day again that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Hallelujah. Father God, again, I say, please increase as I decrease. For you are my strength. You are my strength, and you are my strength and my redeemer. To you, Lord God. Again, in the name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you just got to stop and add a little bit more to your prayer. Hallelujah, for we know righteous prayer avail much, lifting up all those out there today that need an extra prayer for God to give them strength, for God to guide them into where they need to go for his glory. But we don't work for ourselves. We work for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're worthy of the honor and of the praise. And I just want to shout, as the psalmist says, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's get into our word this morning. For those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And the goal and assignment of this show is to read every word of the Word of God, this biblical instruction before leaving earth, basic instruction before leaving earth. Whew. Broad instruction before leaving earth. God has given us a roadmap, and all we have to do is follow it. But our goal and our assignment is to read the Word of God in 1 year, starting with Genesis chapter 1 on January 1st and ending on December 31st. With Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. is the assignment, and I pray to God that he gives me another year to complete it. So thank you all. Thank God. And let's get started. And it says in Psalm chapter 10, starting at verse number 12, Arise, O Lord. I'll say that again. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, You will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper. The helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Psalm 11 chapter, verses 1 through 7. And this is where our title comes from this morning. In the Lord I put my trust. Say it with me, y'all. In the Lord I put my trust, not in mama, not in daddy, not in cousin Seal, not in boo-boo and them down the street, but in the Lord I put my trust. Ooh, hallelujah. Not grandmama, not granddaddy, not my brother, not my sister, not my cousin, not my friend, but in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? But look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Ooh, hallelujah. What a psalm word this morning. God is good all the time. Psalm chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. To the chief musician on an eight-stringed harp, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Ooh, what a word. Thank you, God. What a word. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when the vileness of is exalted among the sons of men. I'm going to say that again, because that's the word for all of us today. If you open a paper, if you pop it up, news pops up on your internet feed, You see it every day. The wicked prowl on every side. Vileness is exalted among the sons of men. We got to be careful that we don't glorify people doing bad things. God sees it all, and we will be held accountable just like they will when we glorify bad behavior. You know, I've seen, you know, see parents, kids doing bad things. They're like, oh, they're so cute. No, they're not. They're being bad. And you need to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife used to say on the Andy Griffith Show. Bad behavior needs to be nipped in the bud when it happens. And you start as a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've got to do so. Don't allow foul behavior, and don't elevate it and make it seem wrong being look like it's right and right being look like it's wrong. Truth being made to be a lie and a lie being made to be the truth. We've got alternative facts don't work. Stand that. Alternative facts don't work with God. God sees everything and knows it all. We want to be right and righteous. We want to trust in the Lord at all times. Ooh, hallelujah. Trust in the Lord at all times. Because God is in charge of everything. And he sees it all. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verses 7 through 9. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Can I say that again? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Ooh, I got to read that again. These are highlightable. Every one of these words is a highlightable today. Every word is a highlightable. And this Proverbs 7 through 9, the whole thing is a highlightable. Get your marker out. Get that Bible all blue and pink and yellow, whatever color you use. This is a highlightable. Let's say it one more time. Wisdom is principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Because wisdom without understanding, you can't do anything with it. When you don't know what you're being wise about. So you got to ask God for discernment with understanding and wisdom. So if you give me wisdom, Lord, give me discernment too. Give me understanding of whatever the situation is that I might walk the right path. We got to ask God to help us to walk the right path. But let's read it one more time. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Hallelujah. I got to read these three verses one more time, y'all. Please bear with me, but I just want it in my spirit as I go today to church ordaining. And as you all have heard her on, Evangelist Teresa is getting ordained today as an evangelist. Please keep her in your prayers and lift her up as God is calling her to her assignment to evangelize. And she will be coming on to evangelize on this station and on this radio show when word for you. So we thank God for Evangelist Teresa as she is moving forward. And we're going to say this one more time, and then I am going to move forward too. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. Hallelujah. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Hallelujah. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his word this morning. Woo. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. I got to put that in there one more time. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Hallelujah. We got to trust in the Lord. And when God says go, go. When God says stay, stay. When God says go left, go left. When God says go right, go right. Hallelujah. And some more highlightable. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Be careful who you allow in your circle. Be careful who you allow to speak to you. And don't let everybody, just because they standing at a pew, that they calling themselves a title, don't let everybody lay hands on you. You got to anoint yourself with the oil of the Lord and ask God to guide you. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to give you what you need. Do not allow everybody who you don't know their soul, you don't know who they are, laying hands on you, because you might be being given a curse. You may be given a spirit that's lingering on them that jumps on you. You got to be careful who you allow to lay hands on you, because you may bring their situation home and you wind up losing as they gain from you. We got to be careful. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. God just showed me something, and oh, Lord, you know, you got to be careful. That's all I can say to everybody. Be careful who you allow to put their hand on you. Matthew chapter 14 is our New Testament word for this morning, and as always, a good word. And we will go back over, if time permits, some life lessons, principles, questions, whatever Dr. Stanley may have to say for us today. We will go over it, but our main assignment is the Word of God and making sure that God's Word is told in its entirety, is read in its entirety. We've got to do what we are assigned to do this morning. So giving honor to God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life, giving God glory, giving God honor, giving God praise. For this is not about me. It is all about him and his word, not mine, but the Lord's. Because, again, the battles that we face on this day and every day are not ours, they are God's. And when we give it over to God and we trust, the Lord tests the righteous. In the Lord I put my trust. Hallelujah. And as we continue, it says this. At that time, and we are in Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Okay, let's call it. Herod was an adulterer, and his so-called wife was his brother's wife. And John did not what? John didn't play. John told the truth. The truth was the truth, because John was a righteous man who trusted in the Lord and knew that he was going to tell it like it was, okay? Because that was his assignment, to prepare the way for the Savior. And he told them what was in the truth. And girlfriend didn't like it, because she was what? Let's call it. She was like Potiphar's wife. She was ratchet. Just call it like it was. Herodias was ratchet. And it goes on to say, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Now when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it be given to her. Now, excuse me. You're talking about an oath to a little girl, basically, young woman dancing who knows how before you. Obviously got him all happy and excited because he wanted to give her half of his kingdom practically. You know, whatever I give you half of it. He made this oath to this girl. And what did she say? I want John the Baptist's head. Come on now. And it said, therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. What if she had said, I want your job? Would he have given her the kingship? I would have been the queenship. Come on now. He was not using what God gave him to use, which was called a mind. He was using some other stuff. You know, come on now. Just nasty. So he's going to give her John's head because she danced for him. Come on now. It don't even make sense. But that's what happened. John lost his head because a mama who knew she was doing wrong and a daughter who was falling in her mama's hedonistic footsteps, adulterer, nasty, just nasty. And I'm saying it, yes, they was nasty and trifling and nasty, mean and evil. And let's go ahead and keep it moving. Verse number 9. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oath. Like you kept your brother's oath to his wife. Come on now. You stepped in where you wasn't supposed to. But you're going to talk about oaths for this. Because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. And healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place. Hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. How? Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Think that through. Our Savior fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we whine and complain about everything when we need to give it to God and watch God mark whatever it is you have. That everything, every bill will be paid. Everything will be done. God will make a way out of no way for each and every one of us, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you do and have done. For in your name we pray, giving you the glory, giving you the honor, and giving you the praise. Hallelujah. It makes you want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for this great word. And then we go into Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And it says this: immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, it is you. Command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of their place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Hallelujah. That's some faith. Touching the hem of the garment, that's faith. Chapter 15 of Matthew. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, and then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's a highlightable. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Understand the power of death and life is this little membrane behind your teeth called a tongue. So many use this tongue in a vile way, speaking evil, speaking lies, speaking untruths. That's what Jesus says coming up. What did he say? Now what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. We got to be careful what we speak and what we say. And it says, when his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Hallelujah. You got to be careful whose ministries you set under. You got to be careful who you allow to speak God's word into your ear. You got to be careful what you allow to come into your ear gate. Because there are so many false prophets and teachers out there that you got to almost keep a list, because they ease it out a little bit of word, and then everything else is all about them and what they command and what they say, just like the Pharisees of the time of Jesus. And what did he call them? Hypocrites, because they make up their own commandments and not follow the ones that God commanded us to follow. We got to follow after God. Chase after him. Chase him as much as you can. Chase after the Lord today. And then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And I'm going to read that again. For out of the heart proceeds, now let's go back up one. It says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Unfortunately, in this day and in this time, and with what we're dealing with, we got to trust God that God will provide and God will cover you if for some reason you don't have anything to wash your hands with. You don't have any sanitizer wherever you might be, and you have to eat with nasty hands. You pray, give that food, give your unwashed hands to God, and pray that you're not taking in any bacteria or anything that does not, that should not be in your stomach. And God will provide and watch over you and make sure that everything works where you're good. Keep trusting God. But in our time with COVID, we got to wash our hands. We got to wash our hands. We got to be very, very careful. And you got to wear your mask. This is a different time and a different season. And God is giving us common sense and wisdom. As we trust in him, we still need to wear our mask as well as wash our hands. But remember who the disciples were with. They were with Jesus. And they could go with unwashed hands because they were healed already and set free already, because they was with the absolute healer. They were with Jesus. So if they took sick, he was going to heal them. So they was going to be fine. Hallelujah. Because they were still with him. As he said in another chapter, that he was going to be with them and that he was with them all the time. And until he left, they didn't have to do some of the stuff that was dealing with fasting. And it says while he was here, they was fine. But once he left, they had to fast. And I'm sure once he left, they had to wash their hands too. And this is some life lessons from our word this morning. And they are awesome. And the life lesson for Psalms chapter 10, verse 14 is the life lesson. It says the helpless commits himself to you. No Christian is ever truly without a helper. If anyone else abandons you, God has pledged to remain with you and give you the help you need. That is why he deserves the name Faith and True. Ooh, Faithful and True, Revelation 3 and 14. And we're going to actually go over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And get it in context. Revelation chapter 14, the 3, verse 14. And it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things such saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Faithful and true. Hallelujah. We say it one more time. And let's go back up a little bit. And it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning creation of God. Hallelujah. The faithful and true witness, that is of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 14 and 14. And it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Compassion is God's natural response to human suffering. Jesus had gone to a remote place to get alone, but when the crowd followed him, he ministered to them and refused to send them away. Jesus was trying to get some place alone so he could pray. We got to have prayer time with God. Even Jesus had prayer time. Who do we think we are not to have time of prayer? We got to take some time out to just give God the glory. Take some time out just to talk to our Father. Just like you would go and talk to your earthly father when you're having situations. When you just go and talk to your earthly father just to say, hey, Dad, I just came to say hi. How are you feeling? How are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you today? Just like we did with our earthly father, we got to do with our heavenly. Just sit down and spend time with him and have conversations. Just so you know and just so he knows you want to spend time with him. Parents like to know you want to spend time with them. Psalm chapter 11, verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. That's our title for today. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? When foes urged Nehemiah to run from trouble, he replied, should such a man as I flee? He realized that his enemies wanted to make him afraid, and so sin by fleeing instead of trusting God. And we're going to go over to Nehemiah, who I just love. Nehemiah. Nehemiah is woo. He's awesome. He said, I'm going to do what I got to do for the Lord, and he did it. He went back to build up the city of Jerusalem. He was a cupbearer, but he did not at all falter from his assignment. He did not try to take the easy way out. He did what he had to do because he was not doing it for himself. He was doing it for God. And when we go to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 11, and it says, let's go back up a little bit to verse 10. Actually, we're going to go up to verse number 8. And then it says, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. And we got to go back a little bit more so we get it all right. Let's just go back to the beginning of chapter 6, We got a little time this morning. And it says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at times I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in plain of Onan. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And then Sanballat, his servant, came unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gershmu saith that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou fawned them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. He was praying. He went to God. And then it says, afterwards I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, Bill, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in this night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is thee that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him, a false teacher and a false prophet. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so in sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they may reproach me. My God, thank thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodoah, the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathens that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and letters of Tobiah came unto them. But there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara. And his son Jonan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. But what did he say in verse 11? And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is thee that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. And then verse 13, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid, a false prophet sent to frighten a man of God. But he had discernment, and he had understanding, and he had wisdom. Nehemiah had wisdom. Matthew 14:23, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus spent a good deal of his time alone with God in prayer. He made this a practice not only to make requests of his Father, but even more to stay in close fellowship with him and enjoy his company. And that's what we must do too. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Matthew 14:27, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. The unexpected way God often does things may startle us or even frighten us. We may not understand why he works in a certain way. He continually tells us, do not be afraid. It is I. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. And some life example, a life example, and this is from Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. And it says, while a measure of faith has been given to every person, our faith is to grow. God desires that we develop great faith. After Peter walked on the water, but then started to sink when he heard the howling wind and saw the wild waves, the Lord asked him, oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? When the disciples awoke a sleeping Jesus to still the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he responded, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, Jesus was asking, how is this that you haven't used any of your faith in this situation? Jesus clearly expected his followers to have faith, to use it, and to grow it. We grow in faith when we hear from God, obey what he says, and then acknowledge God's faithfulness to his word in our lives. If we aren't hearing from God, it's virtually impossible for us to grow in faith. The same is true if we aren't obeying him and if we aren't looking for him to fulfill his word in us. A faith challenge requires consistency, endurance, perseverance, and watchfulness. We must continue to stand in faith until the thing for which God challenged us to believe comes to pass. Jesus once told a parable about a widow who went repeatedly to a judge for justice until he responded to her. Jesus pointed out that God was not like the callous judge and said, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Then he added a comment about our tendency to give up too soon in matters that call for our faith to grow. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Luke 18:7-8. Persevere in your believing. Once you have heard God speak to you, endure until you see the fulfillment of God's word. Woo. Growing in our faith. And our last thing for today is a life question. And it says this, why doesn't God answer my prayer sooner? We've all gone there. We've all been there. We've all asked, you know, Lord, please hear my prayer. Begging God and feeling like he's not hearing us. But I believe that God hears everything. But this is what Dr. Stanley says. If God hears our request and loves us so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, then why does it appear to take him so long to respond to some of our most urgent requests? Carefully consider the following 10 reasons the delay may be caused by. Our obedience. Our sin can prompt God to withhold his gracious hand, Psalms 81:10-12. When we disobey his commandments and refuse to repent, he sometimes stops his ears from hearing our requests. Our doubt. Without faith, no one who asks anything of God will receive what he requests. James 1:5-8. But with faith, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. Number three, our attempts at manipulation. If we try to control and manipulate God, we should not expect answers to our prayers. He is the master. We are the servants. Hallelujah. Number four, wrong motivation. Ask, I'm just going to say asking in a mist. And it says, neither self-centered requests nor those tinged with evil intent will receive an answer. James 4:3, God refuses to partner with our lust or our schemes. Come on now. Number 5, our lack of responsibility. God cannot be expected to compensate for a lazy or negligent person. The Lord has his work to do. We have ours. We talk all the time, got to go to work. An illegitimate need. In this thing, you want really a need, or is it a something that you have illegitimately come to expect? Often we have bigger eyes than stomachs. Jeremiah 45:1-5. Rejecting God's method. Don't turn away a means of supply merely because it doesn't fit your expectations or criteria. Joshua 6. A man named Naaman almost made his mistake, and it would have cost him his health. And we all know that story from 2 Kings 5. Naaman was a leper, and he was told to go and bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be clean. And he was insulted because he thought that the prophet was just going to wave a hand, and he would be cured. No, he had to do something to get that cure. And one of his guardsmen had to say, now, if he had told you to go to battle, if he had told you to do all these different things, you would have done it. But all he said is to go into the Jordan. They dunk yourself 7 times, and on the 7th time, you come up clean. And that's what happened. And as we continue here, in this word, God's redirection. Sometimes God is in the process of redirecting us or preparing us for something new. See Genesis 37:39-50. God loves to do fresh, exciting things with his people. Hallelujah. Verse 9, God's desire to teach us. God may want us to focus on our spiritual and eternal needs so that we will learn to trust him in all things and for all things. God's desire to bring us to repentance. God may want us to own up to our sin, confess it, and repent of it. Luke 15:11-31. And even when God delays his answer, he instructs us to keep on praying. Prayer is life's greatest time saver, even when it doesn't seem like it. What's the word? We got to push. Pray until something happens. We get that all. That's one of Sister Carolyn's words that she gives us. And we need to understand that we got to pray and keep on praying. Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you. And before we get out of here this morning, again, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, from Carolyn's Gift. And the word for this morning is this. Good morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous turn to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Have a blessed Sunday. And it just fits right along with our word this morning. The Lord tests the righteous. In the Lord I put my trust. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. And as always, we say, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and ask God to give you wisdom and discernment on where to go and who to allow to lay hands on you. May those hands that are laid on you be anointed hands of healing, of grace, and of mercy, and of God. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Please, on tomorrow, if she is on, wish Evangelist Teresa Green congratulations on her ordination on today. She was not able to be with us this morning because she is getting ready in consecration for her ordination. But we thank God for her and for her joining us when she can. Have a blessed day, family. It is all right. It's time to go to church and time to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.